program, you are about to hear all slap pun pronouns, dirty satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church of subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and should pass no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Singing Psychic with Earthquake. And this is Susie the Floozy. Accent on the flu. Oh, tonight we've got Phineas Darko here to bail me out with something he likes to call Needle in the Red. Good luck, seekers.
NSCN.
What's wrong, Mommy?
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
Something must be wrong with the radio, man.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
Bring up the button.
Do not attempt to change the station.
We wish to make.
We are controlling the transmission.
To a whisper.
We control the volume.
We will control.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
We will control.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can roll.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly
make it.
Or we can make it.
We can change the focus of a soft hardware.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Food!
Or hilarious.
Food! Food!
We can make it stupid.
Here comes the food.
Or moronic. Or moronic. Or moronic.
Food fight!
It's our show. We can do anything we want. Because this is
the National Cynical Network.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to
the National Cynical Network.
Parental discretion is advised.
Ronald. Ronald? Ronald. Are you okay?
Yes? Yes! Wow! Oh, wow!
You remember me? Come on, Ronald. Think! Ronald! Ronald!
Mayonnaise!
Ronald!
Robert Vaughn!
Come on, clear up!
Nuclear cheese, narcoleptic hamsters, salad!
Ronald!
Sand salad! Yes,
Ronald,
I get it!
I want you to remember!
My God, I can remember everything! Trees! My old house! Volvos! Lots of them! And swings!
Ronald.
Mr. Friday! Receptacle programming! Satellites! My fish! Tape!
Ronald, that's just your life! What about me? Do you remember me?
Yes! Yes, you went away, far away, and you never come.
Yes, I went away, but I didn't call for a reason. I didn't want you to know how bad it had gotten.
What happened?
I never thought I'd be one to give in to peer pressure, Ronald. I thought I was free from such predictable... But things were different in college. I expected difference, but... It started with soft drinks. I was putting away a lot. At first, it was great. I had all the energy I needed for my grueling schedule at UCSB, but then I got this cold, and I had this cough. So I bought some cough syrup off this guy down the street. I had to. I soon found that one teaspoon was never enough. I think it was that flavor, that wonderful flavor. At first, it was a control thing to see how many bottles you could go through and still be able to read street signs, but it got out of hand. Soon I had to have a bottle just to wake up in the morning. I even tried it on pancakes. My God! When I think of the hours I spent mixing up Mountain Dew and Robitussin DM specials, I invented that. Well, eventually, the money ran out. My folks wouldn't send me anymore after I blew the rest on the half crate. Thank God it didn't start happening until the last quarter. I don't think I would have been able to make it through another quarter month down there. But now I'm away from that place, that wacky college community. And I was able to force myself to quit the stuff. I still need a little now and then to keep me going, but I'm under control. Really. Honest. Yeah.
Wow. I guess it was hard.
Not that often, actually. It was just one of my problems.
Oh, so why come here?
Do you remember the World Suicide Club show you did?
Why, yes, I do.
No, do you remember the spin-off groups? Like the Global Noise Society.
Well, yeah, whatever happened.
No.
In fact, I was asked to join their board of directors right before...
Well, all those groups are gone. They're dead. Everyone involved is scattered across the globe. But just recently, several key figures have reestablished communications with each other.
What?
They're back!
Really?
Well, they will be soon anyways. Signs are in the air. Everything's in motion. Brian Sloat, Bill. Brian Sloat.
Ronald. Brian Sloat. What a strangely familiar name. If only I could...
Once the leader of the Global Noise Society, he's now reappeared as the leader of the entire cynical movement.
Why?
What? The volcanic island right off the coast. The volcanic island.
Ah, yes. Is there lava in it?
Brian Sloat has set up a center there, right at the base of the volcano. He's got a transmitter or something, and he's transmitting.
How do you know?
Here, listen. It's here somewhere. Right here. Listen.
What's that?
It's it's a great idea. Every once in a while, transmissions come in from the island.
Why has it got just one knob?
No, they gotta play the boombox, Mark.
What's that? So true. Wait a minute. There.
What? Wait a minute. I think it's gonna...
Listen.
Hello, brothers and sisters.
That's him.
Hell no, we won't go, but heck.
That voice.
I'll collect the $200 to pass the opportunity and the ammunition. Praise the board. Repeat after me. Repeat whenever necessary. That's it. Repeat whenever necessary. Repeat whenever necessary. Excess is blessed. Not eternal damnation. I'm the term of this damnation. I'm not bored. If hell calls, tell him Faust sucked and proceeded up the pearly gates and stealing eyes. Tear it up to send up the very beast. I say, more life and less stress through death. Yes, that's right, death. Down with breath and up with death. Down with breath and up with death. The mantra of the blank generation.
Got it?
Hallelujah.
Oh, wait a minute.
You guys turn that satanic stuff down.
It's not.
I'm trying to eat.
It's gone anyway. The signal comes and goes. He must be preaching or sermons to his disciples or something. The volcano has been showing signs of activity, and they're all waiting for it to erupt or something. I don't know.
Wait. What something? What else could it do but erupt?
Ronald, we gotta leave.
Why?
You remember 115?
The guy who was always yelling?
Yeah, that's him. You remember the National Paranoid Network?
Yes, the proposed plans for a network. It was a great idea. Wait a minute, that was something we were just talking
it's
about.
It's a reality, Ronald, and Mr. 115 is their biggest straw.
Talking over all my words.
A lot has happened since you've been out. He's going on the air in less than, 5 minutes.
What?
Let's go!
Wait a minute, I can't see!
Let's come on! What are you talking about?
Eucalyptus! Trees!
Don't you see? Can't you comprehend? We've got to get to the network so we can find where the island is! It's very important that we get there!
Very important!
And it's very important that we take this bottle of cough syrup with us!
Wait a minute! My bacon!
Come on, Ronald!
My burgers! Wait, I've got to take this big steaming bag! Oh, crackling burgers!
Those guys are crazy, Marge. The National Cynical Network.
Hello, and welcome to the Cynical Network. I'm Doug Gordiglog, station manager of the Berkeley Channel, and I'm pleased to announce that over the next few hours, we'll be bringing you the very best in paranoid programming. Right now, for you on our network, we have the ultra-hip Mr. 115, who's here to bring you up to date on the latest in schizophrenic sensibilities. We're really happy to have him here, and he's really happy to be alive, as you'll soon find out if you haven't already, because he already does have quite a following, which if you aren't a part of already, you soon will be. Like my shoe. Turnips in the station. 115, yes. Well, on a personal note, I'd like to dearly tell all you dear listeners out there that it is my firm and truly held belief that the world would be a much better place if everyone on the face of the planet were exactly like him. Thank you.
These turnips.
Here he is. 115. Life is good.
Music to play, doesn't he?
Tell me, dear listener, do you like your life? Would you do it all over again? It seems to me I have lived most of mine wrapped up in tension and worry. It's like I'm always holding my breath, always afraid to relax, you know? I can't remember the last time I was glad to be alive. It seems that since I was a child, I have lived in expectation. It's as if I planted a bunch of seeds and have been waiting for them to sprout, waiting for the pursuit of happiness to finally reach the end, waiting for the fruits of my talent to fall into my hands, waiting for financial freedom, waiting for a house of my own, waiting for a girl to love me, waiting for a ringing phone, waiting and waiting for a time in my life when I can dare to feel satisfied with what I have and stop chasing that carrot on a stick. And yet, how could that possibly ever happen when there's always this nagging feeling that the rug underneath the furniture of my accomplishments and hopes is sooner or later gonna be yanked away? I know it may sound ridiculous or even cliche, but as I get older, it seems more and more that there is an existential law which states, for every pleasure, there is an equal amount of pain. It's like, I can't be happy about anything for 2 seconds without the voice of fear telling me that there are all sorts of things that are just waiting to go wrong. If I'm pleased about my new job, then fear tells me that it's only a matter of time until I hate it like all the previous ones. If I'm satisfied with something I've written, then fear tells me that it's all been said before. I can't win. I can't win. One voice tells me to go, the other tells me to stop. One is a criminal, one is a cop. One says to get high, the other calls me a junkie. One says to cut school, the other says I'm a flunky. Jesus, talk about being schizo. Where, oh where, did I ever get the idea that getting what I want is gonna make me happy? I mean, I'm only pleased for a moment or two. No matter what it is, I'm only pleased for the first taste, the first listen, the first viewing. And after that, I always want something new. I always want something better. Ugh, what a life. Seek, find, want, get, win, lose. Everything's double-sided, double-crossed, and two-faced. Can you dig it? For every happy thought, there will be a worry. For every ounce of success, a pound of disappointment. If it's not one thing, then it's something else. And round it goes. Listen, no matter how happy someone may appear to be, rest assured there is something very fucked up about their life. For example, if someone appears to be lucky in love, always with a beautiful and witty person, then chances are they probably can't hold down a job, or they have some sort of nervous breakdown every 3.5 weeks. If someone appears to be famous and wealthy, always dressed to the nines and in the tabloids, then you can bet the farm their health is f***ed up, or they incur lots of injuries, or they have a god-awful personality. Yes. And if someone appears to be gentle and peaceful, always saying and doing all the politically correct things, then there is little doubt that their lifestyle is dreadfully boring, or they are married to a total asshole, or have terrible, whiny children destined to be bullies and criminals. That's right, no one is getting away with anything good or happy. As they say in physics, there is no free lunch. And it's true. For every action, there is a reaction. For every pleasure, there is a pain just waiting to pounce on you. In fact, there's a piece of stinking within every spoonful of ice cream, a squirt of rancid in every glass of lemonade, and a case of vile breath behind every pretty smile. The duck. You know, it seems that this is about the worst dream game I've ever been in. I mean, what a dirty, stinking, tricky little world this is. Everything is a trade-off. Can't have your cake and eat it too without getting hives or indigestion or some sort of scary-looking rash. I curse this place with its damn cancer and head cold and athlete's foot fungus. There is nothing pure here, nothing that isn't subject to spoil, nothing that isn't corruptible, terminable, or without a negative consequence, nothing valuable that can't be stolen or lost, nothing pretty that is not subject to decay, nothing that you can enjoy that isn't illegal or won't cause disease. And you can forget about running away to some island paradise to escape it all, because there is not a single one without creepy, monstrous insects and weird fever. Diseases. No, not one without a smiling sun just waiting to burn the skin off your bones. Talk about a switcheroo. It's all a sham, a foolhardy trap. That's what this world is, a shitty, undignified game of give and take. A cosmic prank, man. And then, To add insult to injury, we'll probably lose all sense of identity when we die and find out that death is nothing more than getting sucked up into a big soup of nothingness in the middle of nowhere. There will be no sounds. There will be no sights. And for the briefest moment before it all turns black, we'll miss being human and cry for our mommies. We'll cry tearless tears and sob soundless sobs as we suddenly realize how beautiful it actually was to have had our own unique personalities. Because now, in the big soup of nothingness, we will forget everything and have no consciousness whatsoever. There will be no afterlife. There will be no spirit friends to welcome us home. And there will be no sense of relief that the human world was just a harmless dream game. That's right. Our so-called great reward for enduring this panic brain, pattern-seeking, idiotic existence will only be zilcho, zero, nada. And the truth will turn out to be that this here little blue ball, with its strange and bewildered creatures, was all that ever existed.
This is the first step along your path to a gateway beyond which is discovery, your own discovery of reality, of truth, of who and what you are. Now a simple preparation. Because of the special audio techniques used, it's important that certain sounds reach your right ear and others your left ear. To be sure of this, you should be hearing my voice in your right ear at this moment. If you are not hearing my voice in your right ear, turn your headphones around now so that you are hearing my voice in your right ear. As you listen to the sound of ocean surf, move your body into a more relaxed position. Release any tensions or strain points. Move into whatever position is best for you. The sound of ocean surf, of waves, a natural sound most people find pleasing and relaxing. It is a sound of natural energy, a natural energy always present when the ocean meets the shore, the sound of waves of energy in action. This is why it is a symbol at the beginning of each training exercise, because you are going to learn to use waves of your own natural energy. You will learn to focus these and direct these energy waves that even now are a natural part of you. Waves of vibrational energy.
That is correct. correct.
Your heart, for example, is beating to create pulsations or waves of blood flow throughout your body. A slow vibration of energy at work. You breathe air in and out of your lungs. Slow pulsing waves of energy you create and use. You talk, and you create faster waves of vibrational energy in the air around you. You listen as you are doing now, and your ear takes one vibrational energy and creates another that your brain can understand. All of these and many, many more are natural energy vibrations that you generate and use every moment you exist. And for the most part, you are not consciously aware of doing so. And that brings us to the point where we are right now. This exercise and others to come will help you learn to create and use consciously for your own mental and physical well-being such natural energy. You will learn to perceive it, to tune it, to focus it, to direct it whenever and wherever you so desire. You will be able to control it with your conscious mind rather than being controlled by its non-conscious activity. You can do this calmly and without fear because it is only another part of you. Because it is your own life energy belonging to you and to no one else. Many wonderful things can happen when you do control your own vibrational energy, and you will discover these as you progress through these training exercises. To help you develop your own coherent mind and brain, there are specific sounds you will hear, and it's important that you perceive how they work. This will demonstrate it. First, a tone in one ear.
That is correct.
Notice that it is steady. It is even, without fluctuation.
That is correct.
Now we will shut it off and place another slightly different tone in the other ear. Notice that it is also steady, even, without fluctuation.
That is correct.
Now, when I put the first tone back into the other ear, you will hear both at the same time.
That is correct.
But there is a difference. You start to hear a wavering, a vibrato in the tone. When you hear this, your brain is beginning to act in unison. The two halves of your brain, the hemispheres, are starting to act and perform electrically as one unit. This is what is described as hemispheric synchronization, or hemisync, as we call it. This greater, natural brain-mind power is what you will learn to use. So relax for a moment and explore this new feeling of hemisync.
I'm Doug Gordon the Glug.
I still haven't found any folders. Are they over there?
No, that was the most thrilling song.
Huh? I think it's one of the most thrilling songs that's ever been written. It sums up everything, doesn't it? Do you want a lyric sheet?
Yeah.
Wait, you're not up. Now you're up. No, you're not. Everything's peachy now. Well, okay. Well, everything can change. Play another song, we'll play this. Well, I don't know. What about it? What is that?
Excuse me, this is my crew for Mr. 115.
Who might this be?
This is Mr. Edge. I'm up in the booth.
Hey, Mr. Edge, how's it going up there?
Oh, fine, just fine. How's it going down there?
Everything is as it is. We're grooving. A couple of guests showed up here unexpectedly. We got Mr. Chemistry Homework and Ronald Redball here.
Ronald is there? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. Well, you know, Redball, as fine as he gets.
Well,
he's saner than most of us.
Okay, Ronald? Mr. Edge?
Yes?
How do you feel?
Fine. Great. I seem to have recovered from some amnesia I was having. Winnebagoes. I feel like a new person. I remember lots.
I remember lots, too. Do you remember me, Ronald?
Huh. It's funny you should mention it. Yes, I remember you, but it's still fuzzy. As if I can't quite remember.
Remember what, Ronald?
I can't remember. Strange.
And you don't remember any incidents?
No.
And
no.
You don't bear anyone at the network any ill will?
No. Why should I?
Okay, great. Great talking to you, Ronald. Look, I gotta go.
What did he mean?
Hey, Ronald, maintain. He's gone. That's how all those uptight UMN dudes treat us at this little poo-poo network.
This is odd. I feel odd. I need air. I need to have a little look around. I'll be back in a while, guys.
All right, Ronald, you take it easy, buddy.
Imagine there's no Starbucks. I wonder what you'd do. Can't get an ATM card. And no computers too. Imagine all self-demies. Living life in slack. Imagine there's no modems. And sitcoms on TV. We'd hunker down in mud huts. And take some LSD. You. Hoo-hoo-hoo. You may say I'm some genius. But I'm not the only one. Gotta wonder if I'm really one. What I'm losing out on. Imagine no McDonald's. and no Big Mac with cheese. No email line and no voicemail. And no more songs like these. Imagine the subgenius. Life without a pecan. You. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Gotta wonder if I'm really wanting. What I'm losing out on. What I'm losing out on.
The judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God. Any of the 12-step programs
should be called
essays.
Get over here and sit down.
Don't
if she
big,
you can
put
flowers on.
You know, Mr. Chemist, that's something you can do.
Well, you can talk to Mr. Chemist now. Come on.
But most of all, you know what's fun to do? Is really remember all the happy experiences.
Well, is this it?
Of a sudden, you remember a lot of them. You remember some of the funny things that Grandma did?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Tell me one.
When we were playing cards and getting his teeth
out. I know! And how we all laughed.
Victory needles, syringes, and vials of blood.
And who laughed the hardest?
Is this it?
Grandma! Grandma laughed the hardest.
It's absolutely this.
And sometimes if you want to cry, because we're going to miss some
homework.
Part of it too.
Mr. Chemistry Homework.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Chris Dewberry. How you doing?
Yeah, I see the name tag. You spent a lot of time on that name tag, didn't you?
A little bit.
I've
got a few questions to ask you.
Is it okay? I like the curly cues.
Oh, thank you. Can I ask you a few questions?
Fire away.
All right. You know Ronald Redwall real close, don't you?
Oh, it's a working relationship.
Okay. Well, have you ever shared a Kleenex or a Q-tip as a symbolic gesture of your friendship with Ronald?
Maybe not. I don't think advertently. No.
No? Do you know what size underwear he wears?
No, I don't think so. No.
Who cuts your hair, Mr. Chemistry Homework?
I don't know. I always considered. I haven't had my hair cut down in Santa Barbara yet. It's someplace on Telegraph. I think that it's the last vestige when I finally get my hair cut down in Santa Barbara that I know I actually live there.
I got a little strange question. Because I do these things sometimes, but I'm just wondering if anybody else does them, so I don't have to feel so weird. Have you ever? You need that.
Don't
interrupt me while I'm talking, okay? Just be nice. Be nice. Have you ever eaten the frost from the inside of a freezer?
I think when I was very little, I tried.
You haven't done it recently, though?
Would you recommend it?
I'm just asking you the questions. You don't ask me questions, okay? I told you to be nice. I don't have to put up with this, okay? Come on. I got a question. Have you ever tried to get a complete lungful of the air that is trapped inside automobile tires? Have you?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. I'm just asking. You don't have to act like a weirdo. Have you ever tried on pantyhose?
I've never really been.
Sometimes you see in the movies and stuff like men wearing pantyhose, like Joe Namath and stuff, and I mean it feels real silky and everything.
Well, Edward G. Wood or G. Wood is an idol of mine, but I've never actually gone so far as to emulate his actions.
I don't understand what you're talking about. I got another question. Hang on, here we go. Now, do you have any social diseases you are especially proud of?
What?
Do you have any social diseases you're especially proud of?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I got one last and final question for you, okay?
You practice
really boring,
in front of the mirror,
you're really boring
you?
The hell out of me. And I don't have to take this kind of abuse from anybody. Do you think
You
that,
don't.
Oh, okay. Are you interrupting me?
No. Oh,
behave
no.
Behave yourself,
at all.
Please, okay? Okay, I didn't come here just to entertain you, all right? You're here to answer questions. Behave yourself.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you think that I am hearing all kinds of interruptions? Please leave me alone.
But isn't the mix good, folks?
It's groovy.
These occurrences are pure figments of imagination.
Any abnormal sound?
Whoa!
Why do you want to be normal?
Screamed in agony and asked, why? And then a face appeared. It was a composite of everyone who had ever wagged their finger at me. It said, "You're here because you were a bad mortal." And I replied, "I wasn't convinced that I was immortal solely to be well behaved." And it said, "How could you miss the signs? They were everywhere. Be good. Don't be bad. Be nice. Don't be mean. Do right. Don't do wrong. Share everything. Don't be stingy." Yeah, I saw the signs, but I thought they were just part of the game. Game? Life isn't a game. It's serious business. It's an education. But for what? What are we going to do with the education? We're all going to live in spiritual peace and harmony. And do what? Bask in the glory of our God, who is pleased with the behavior and condition of his creations. But what does that mean in concrete terms? Does it mean we will sing songs of praise for the rest of eternity like a bunch of sycophants? I don't think I like the tone of your question. And how is it that we aren't already living in spiritual peace and harmony? Because life started as chaos with the intention of stabilizing. The only way it can stabilize is if all spirits get along peacefully and harmoniously. This means they have to be trained to be nice and kind and unselfish. But aren't all spirits eternally indestructible? Aren't they perfectly equal and equally perfect? Potentially, yes, but you have to earn it. You have to prove you are worthy of indestructibility and perfection. But how? By living a perfect mortal life. All that is required is that you live one perfect mortal existence to at least the age of 33. You can reincarnate as many times as you need to. What do you mean by perfect? Completely kind and nice and unselfish. Just like Jesus Christ. Haven't you been listening? You said, I can reincarnate as much as I need to. You didn't say I have to. What if I don't want to? Then you can spend eternity in a nightmare, Mr. Semantical Smartass. Hey, that's not a very nice name to call me. You're a horrible and stubborn little creature. But God still loves you. Where is he? I want to talk to him. He's right here, but you can't see him because you are blinded by your lack of kindness and niceness and unselfishness. I want to know why he didn't make us nice and kind and unselfish at the start. Because all creation begins chaotically and then slowly comes together. That may be true of physical things like a mortal universe, but it shouldn't be true of spiritual things. Why not? And who are you, you pipsqueaky, insolent little jerk? Who are you to say what is true or not true about things that are spiritual? How dare you? Listen, you've called me some names that aren't very nice. That, to me, seems imperfect. You're too egotistical to know what is or isn't perfect. Besides, I never claimed to be perfect. I just happen to be more advanced than you. That's all. I didn't spend my last incarnation being a foul-mouthed, hedonistic, blaspheming, amoral, thick-headed radical who squandered his God-given talent as a writer by writing dirty little books full of spiritual misinformation. Shame on you. You know, it just occurred to me that I am in this nightmare because I feared that I would be. But if I learned anything as a mortal, it was that fear is a lie. It only appears powerful as long as I don't challenge it. The instant that I realize or remember that nothing real can be threatened by anything or anyone, and that I am real, then fear becomes instantly powerless. So what? I'll tell you what, you fear spreader, I owe you nothing. There is no God. There is only the life force, and it is not separate from its contents or aspects. There is not an it and then a me. There is not a creator and its creations. It and me are one and the same. It doesn't control me, and I don't control it. There is no separation between it and me. We are one, like droplets in an ocean. There is not an ocean and then something separate from it called droplets. One cannot exist without the other. There is only the ocean of droplets. There is only life. Oh, what a load of Zen gibberish! And the droplets are perfectly equal and equally perfect. They are all made of the same stuff. Each is capable of dreaming it has evaporated. And each is capable of waking up and precipitating back to the ocean. Mortal life is but a droplet that has dreamed it has evaporated from the ocean. But it's only a dream. It and the ocean are still as one. The truth never changes. And since there is no actual separation between the ocean and its droplets, then it cannot be said that the ocean misses the droplets when they are dreaming of having evaporated. And it cannot be said that the ocean cares one little bit about what kind of dream the droplets are having. And it cannot be said that there is a right way or a wrong way for the droplets to behave while they are dreaming. The ocean and the droplets are one. They are never separated. One did not give birth to the other, and therefore one cannot rule over the other. They, as one, have always existed. Life is life. It exists. It lives as a whole, composed of many, each perfectly equal and equally perfect. If life ever appears to be anything different, then it's a dream. And all dreams end happily because they end. What is the one miracle of life? That we can dream. Without being able to dream, you can't know life. If all you have ever known is white, then you can't know it is white. If all you have ever known is bliss, then you can't know it is bliss.
And here we are, it's Sunday morning in Normal Town, USA, and we're driving down the new concrete freeway.
Wow. Dad smoking his pipe while Mom applies her lipstick in the rearview mirror.
Look where you're going. Oh, okay.
In the back seat, Junior and Sis take turns French kissing Spots, the family dog.
There's Mr. Wilson emptying the trash into his...
A clean hit. Mr. Wilson will be in the hospital at least 2.5 years.
Hi, Mr. Wilson.
Goodbye,
about
Mr. Wilson.
Sorry about you. Okay. As long as you apologize in the future, everything's okay.
And now we come to Four Corners, the famous traffic intersection in Midvale's downtown...
Hi, Mr. Caller.
In my hometown.
See, he's so happy here. Whoa! Farms in Berkeley?
That wasn't fair. Weren't we about to visit sunny Hawaii there? I want to see the hula hula dancers.
We'll go there in just a minute, Hal. But first, we must finish side one.
Wilco, Roger, I copy on that. I'm triangulating azimuth number 12 on your grid. Let's triangulate in a little bit further. See what that blue-covered felt fungus creature has to tell us about conditions down there in the lower intestine. How are you doing, boy?
I guess I'm doing fine, but I want to complain.
Is there something the matter about our program? Some sort of complaint you'd like to put on the air? Come on, it's dead air. Time's wasting.
I just want to say, the show isn't as funny as it used to be. It's really boring, and furthermore, I'm gonna hang up.
Last one now.
Too late. I already got some on me. I'm a goner.
Put the mask on now.
Oh, what? This mask here? It's adhering to my face. Now I come.
People of Earth, attention. People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles outside your atmosphere. Look to your show for a warning. Look to your show for a warning.
You have been listening to me in the red. Part 2 of Really Normal and Everything. This episode was produced by Phineas Narco and the National Cynical Network. Special thanks to Ronald Edwall, Alexander T. Newport, Wally, and Anubis, Don Joyce of Megatrend and KFJC. Thanks to Phil T. Miller at philtmiller.com for his song, Normal, as well as Peter Gabriel, the KPFA Subgenius Show, and Porcupine Tree. Thanks for listening.
This is NCN.
NationalCynical.com.
Now go back to work. Cool it.